my buddy Eric, who you guys know, he made like a whole array of prop bets for guys. And so like he, and then at the end he like tabulated it all. I did all these birdie props for everyone. And of course the one person I didn't bet on was myself.
Yourself.
My number was 4 birdies for the 4 tournament rounds. And it was plus 300. So 3-1 odds. I made 11 birdies. Welcome back to Be Right. I'm Alex Myers. As always, I'm joined by Steve Hennessy, Christopher Powers. We have plenty to talk about this week. We also have a very special guest, Marty Fish, joining us ahead of the American Century Championship. He, of course, is one of the best celebrity golfers out there. He's won that event. Former great tennis player also, but he might actually be as good of a golfer as he's a tennis player. That's how good of an athlete this dude is. So we'll be talking to Marty in a bit. We will have picks for numerous tournaments coming up. We've got the Scottish Open. We got the Barbasol Championship. Got a lot going on. But first off, we do have to talk. I know you guys did the pod last week from Bandon, so everybody kind of heard about that. But we can still talk a little about that if you want. But, you know, I'm sitting here. I got my green jacket on. I'm fresh off my victory. A 4th green jacket at the 2022 HGGA Championship.
Wow.
At Sand Valley, which I'm rocking the Sand Valley shirt. I'm rocking the Mammoth Dunes hat. I'm like Mr. Wisconsin. I also have a Wisconsin hat that I bought. I'm like Mr. Wisconsin now. I want to just like move out there. Although I know it's a very brief golf season. But anyway, I'm very fired up. I'm excited. It's good to be back. I know we both had incredible golf trips, but
Fly back with some spotted cows too? You're Mr. Wisconsin. I mean, you bring some bratwurst on the plane too.
I did not. I really stuck to kind of the shandies and
spotted cow's the goat. Come on.
I know.
And you're not even a cheese guy, right?
I'm not a cheese guy.
I'd be in heaven. It was
funny because you get there to the cheese state, and I'm like, I'm not a cheese guy. But we flew into Madison and flew out, and my daughter's name is Madison. So I just keep saying Madison. I was like, oh man, this is an omen. This is
all, the signs.
All the signs.
All the perspective.
Man, and shout out to my guys at the Golf Performance Center, because I got this big, you guys know, I've been working on this project all year. I mean, holy shit. Like the difference. I sucked at golf 3 months ago. Sucked. Now this was the best I've ever played in my life.
Amazing.
Not the best I ever putted, which was weird because we'd worked on some putting stuff and I don't know, but hitting the ball, it was crazy, man. It was like, I told you guys, I should have shot under par the last day. Mammoth Dunes is a very easy course.
It is. It's
crazy.
It's so much fun.
You can hit the ball anywhere.
Yeah.
But I mean, I was hitting it 280 down the middle literally every time. I mean, it was like insane. So it was fun. It feels
King
good.
Of Pop
jacket. I might have to bring it to the King of Pop. I might have to bring it to the office. Well, I've been wearing this all around. I wore it to Costco, out to dinner. Julia loves it. My daughter, she's like going crazy. She's so glad. She thinks I beat Scottie Scheffler. She's like very.
Costco is a little different than when they like get the guy like courtside at a Knicks game.
Wimbledon. Amazing. Yeah, exactly. That's what I was thinking. I'm doing my own jacket tour. I'm going to take a few photos, put it out there. But it's been fun. But anyway, how about the bets? You know, actually, I didn't make one bet last week because I was so in the zone. How did you guys do with John Deere? I know you said Sam had picked Stallings top 10.
That was it. One of the two bets I made and it hit. That was a total.
Very nice. Keep it simple.
Kind of full delirious mode. That was after our first day and just, you know, naming names on the podcast. And Sammy top 10 said Stallings. So I was like, screw it. Top 10. That was the only bet I won. We were on Champ, who kind of.
Guy is terrible.
He missed the cut.
Yeah.
He's had a brutal.
Kind of played poorly. He's so Jekyll Hyde.
Sam is like Mr. Top 10.
He's really
top
10.
He's a guru.
Never in doubt with Stallings. So it was pretty.
We need to get like top 10 pick from him every week.
It's true.
See and track it because he's been killing it. Steve, were you on Stallings too? Or
no, I didn't. I was on a million guys who had a chance. Denny McCarthy, Adam Svensson was kind of up there. Cam Davis made a run. So not a profitable week. I did hit some matchups Saturday, Sunday when we were back But yeah, we're on to the Scottish because it was kind of brutal for me. And the hot dog eating contest too. CP and I did a post about hot dog eating bets. Thankfully, some of the books refunded.
Oh, I saw that.
For the chestnut over.
They did.
Oh, yeah. Because of the protesting. Yeah. Which was electric. You like put him in a headlock.
I thought he was going to kill the guy. That was crazy.
In the neck.
Yeah.
He's, all right. He's incredible. So you got refunded on that. That's good. Yeah. Oh, I did make a few bets because we actually my buddy Eric, who you guys know, he made like a whole array of prop bets for guys. And so like then at the end he like tabulated it all. He was like on the hook for big money. He ended up coming out like just down like $100. It's amazing because he took like thousands of dollars in bets. But I did all these birdie props for everyone. And of course, the one person I didn't bet on was myself.
Yourself.
My number was 4 birdies for the 4 tournament rounds. And it was plus 300. So 3-1 odds. I made 11 birdies.
Oh my God. So
4 birdies the first day at Lausonia.
Damn.
And I can't believe I bet on everybody else. Right. And myself.
Jeez.
So yeah, I did make a few bets, but not on the tour. So, yeah, let's get to Marty Fish. It was a really fun talk. I had the pleasure of talking with Marty earlier in the year for a piece for Golf Digest. And man, again, hell of a golfer. Obviously, he was a hell of a tennis player. Check out the documentary on Netflix on him if you haven't done so already. It's amazing. So anyway, please have a listen to our chat with Marty Fish. Well, we're excited to welcome former tennis star turned celebrity golf juggernaut, Marty Fish, to the podcast. Marty, how are you doing, man? I caught up with you earlier this year. It was before the other event that you've dominated. I was worried that I jinxed you. I know you finally didn't win that one, but how are you doing, man? And how's the game right now?
You're not jinxing me at all. things are great. It's a fun time of the year, obviously, to play golf and out here in Tahoe, looking out the window to my left, looks pretty nice out there. It's hard to not be on the golf course all day, you know, but you got to kind of pace yourself a little bit. You kind of get golfed out, playing a lot of pro-ams and stuff this week. And then obviously the tournament starting on Friday. So exciting stuff for sure.
Now, obviously you do a lot of events, but you know, we always hear this is the Super Bowl of celebrity golf. I mean, this is the event where the you know, the celebs take center stage. You got the beautiful course there. It's televised all week. How cool is this event? I mean, it really kind of separates itself from the rest of the calendar.
It's great. You know, look, I love the others as well. I love playing with the senior, you know, playing with those senior guys and playing with the LPGA players. Those ladies are just incredible. And so like to kind of put your game up against them is really fun for me and challenging. They don't know that I'm trying to play against them, but, but we are from time to time, or just kind of, you know, see how you stack up with the ladies and with the seniors. And so those are fun, fun tournaments, but, you know, this one's special. Obviously the setting is so special. This is my 8th year. I think it's rained one day, in 8 years, literally. So, you know, it's just, American Century does such a great job. NBC Sports does such a great job to kind of highlight, some of these guys and some of us that can play and that can't play. And, you know, we know who some of those are and we know, you know, Chuck and the rest of them down there at the bottom. And we just, you know, it's such a great time. They do such a great job of keeping us busy with concerts and comedy shows and magicians and all kinds of stuff. It's just, you know, we look forward to it every year, you know, bringing the whole family and friends. And I've got my in-laws, my parents, my kids, their friends, all that, you know, here. And it's an expensive week for sure, but I need to play well to pay for it.
Well, Marty, you're one of the best, you know, golfers in the field. You're obviously one of the favorites. How hard is it? You're talking about Tahoe. It rains, you know, once a year. My sister was just there for Bachelorette. She was sending me pictures of the lake. It looks like the most beautiful place on earth. How hard is it to kind of turn off vacation mode since you're actually trying to win the event?
it's not that hard. I mean, look, we want to play well, but we also want to have fun. Like, don't make no mistake. Like, we all want to win. Everyone wants to win. There's a few that can, and some that, you know, that just sort of have fun with it. And I'm lucky enough to be one of those ones that can win it. And so I do love the challenge of playing this course is kind of the opposite of everything that goes against my sort of shot shape and all that. And so it's really challenging course for me to make as many birdies as I can. It's kind of the you know, avoid the double bogey, the scoring system, the Stableford, and how they do it is avoid the double at all costs and make as many birdies as you can. So I sort of changed my strategy a few years ago and just started hitting driver everywhere and figuring it out. If I missed one, trying to make bogey and just move on to the next hole. And so it's a really fun, challenging course. Sort of feels like you can come out here and maybe apart from number one, where you're always nervous and, every other hole feels like a birdie hole, or you can birdie it. And so it just makes for fun, you know, a lot of fun, fun holes and fun golf.
Marty, I was going to ask you, cause I don't know if everyone knows this, that you swing the club lefty golf wise, but you're a righty tennis player. Just, you know, how did that come to be? Obviously when you were a kid, you just, you know, obviously came natural, but do you do other stuff lefty and righty too? And that's yeah, a pretty fun thing.
I'm all over the place, dude. I'm a right hand dominant, left leg dominant. So okay. I'm like righty this way and lefty down there. And so I when I was young, my mom tied a string to the ceiling of our basement in Minnesota and a tennis ball or a, you know, the wiffle ball or something at the end of it. And so I'd walk by with a golf club or a baseball bat or a tennis racket, and it was all the same swing from the same side. So I'm a lefty batter, a lefty golfer, and then a righty tennis player, all from the same two-handed backhand sort of swing. And it's just come natural to me ever since I could stand. That those things, I've really never taken a golf lesson before. My swing is my own swing, and I kind of know what the miss is and where I miss it and how to kind of correct it. In a few shots, I can't correct it right away, but in a few shots, I can sort of correct the driver or something like that. If I'm late on something, my miss is left, so I play a cut. And then I can miss way left. So, I kind of know my game pretty well and know, you know, sort of that side of the swing and that sort of lefty baseball swing and that righty tennis backhand.
It's pretty amazing. You say that the Tahoe course presents a challenge for you because it sets up differently. And yet you were able to break the course record a couple of years ago when you won, you shot a 63 there. You broke Lee Trevino's record too. So hey, that's pretty amazing to be able to say you have a course record and it was Lee Trevino's. But going back to, I mean, is that the best round of your life or have you had others since then? Or is that, where do you kind of put that day up?
Yeah, I mean, I think I with the, like, kind of the pressure and the, you know, kind of the moment, I guess, although it was the COVID year, there weren't as many fans around. There still were quite a few people out there, family and friends and stuff like that. And then, you know, you always get 17 and 18 there where you're playing music and you can't hear yourself think. And I don't know. It's just, I'm used to that kind of stuff. Most of the guys out here are kind of used to that stuff. It's just that you're playing the game you're not playing the game that got you into the tournament, if you will. So you're always a little nervous on how you're going to play. But yeah, like I play a right to left cut and every single hole out here goes left to right. And so it's a kind of a challenge, but it is what it is. It's not a crazy hard course. So the greens, they do an unbelievable job of getting this course in shape. And I'm sure it's great year round, but man, is it good when we play here and it's just, you know, it's just, it's beautiful out every day and hard to complain.
I was reading Alex did a great piece on you in a Golf Digest issue a couple months ago. And he said, or you said that you only play like a little bit when you're not playing in these celebrity events. How much do you worry when, you know, you're taking a bunch of time off that it's not going to be there right when you get back for one of these big events?
Honestly, I feel like I almost play better if I don't play as much, on a one-off round here or there. I just don't have anything in my head. Like I don't have, you missed that one left. So I have like one or two thoughts on how to correct that. I don't even have those thoughts in my head yet. And so playing, you know, once or twice a month, something like that, doesn't really hurt me that much in terms of ball striking or hitting a tee to green. I certainly won't chip or putt very well if I play, you know, like that, or that many times. But I've tried to kind of get out there a little bit more. I joined an awesome course in our club in LA called Hillcrest Country Club. They've got an amazing practice facility and area there. My son is 8 years old. He plays almost every day. He loves it. So we kind of drop them off there. And after I work most days during the week. And so after work or after school for him, I can kind of go and hit some balls and, hit some real pro Vs in LA. They don't have a lot of land out there. And so like Bel Air Country Club, for instance, we had limited flight balls there because there's just not a lot of space. And Hillcrest is great for that. They have TrackMan on the range and real, you know, real tailor-made balls, you know, that I'm used to hit. And so so I can get out there a little bit more now, and hit some balls and stuff like that. I'm certainly not, I don't have the 5 hours that it takes to play golf. Golf takes too long. Certainly country club golf, it just takes too long. And so I just don't have that time. So I find myself, you know, hit more balls now, and playing a little bit less rounds. But I do love it. And I want to sort of, every year I play kind of Tahoe, and then I know I don't have a tournament until January. I sort of get pretty golfed out, and I find myself not playing until at least September or something like that. And so every year I want to get my, you know, I want to keep playing so I can, you know, sort of maintain my game, because it feels good, because I get, you know, got to play for the last couple of weeks in a row, it never happens. So summer happens and the kids happen, and then tennis takes over, and then we've got Davis Cup stuff that I have to jump into, or not have to, I get to jump into, and so that makes it pretty fun too.
Wimbledon's been on. Are you, you know, always checking that out? Obviously the major tournaments, I'm sure you are, but yeah. You know, what'd you think of the match yesterday? That was pretty awesome with Nadal and
Djokovic. Yeah, look, I watched the Americans. If it's a Nadal, you know, someone match in a quarterfinal Wimbledon or something like that, doesn't have an American in it, I probably won't be watching. But if there's an American there, for sure. I get to keep an eye on these guys, look, we don't play any Davis Cups on grass. So this is a little different. You know, we don't play very many Davis Cups, if at all, on clay either. So the French Open and Wimbledon, you can kind of throw out the results there and focus in more on early on in the summer and how the guys play in the summer, because those are more realistic of tennis that they're going to play in Davis Cup. So that's where I kind of go. I go, more and spend some time with the guys in the summer, which is great. But, you know, obviously Wimbledon, I think the final of Wimbledon always goes on the Sunday, the final round of this. And so I get, my dad comes out every year and he's always giving me the score updates and stuff like that. And
it's cool.
There's been a couple long ones that Fed Djokovic or something that went like, I don't know, 21-19 or something crazy a couple of years ago, maybe 2019, something like that, that I can remember. So yeah, they're usually playing during when we were playing.
Do you ever use golf to get to know your Davis Cup players any better? Like, do you take them out on the course and get to know them better?
They enjoy it. Look, Sebastian Korda obviously can play.
Yeah,
he's a lefty as well. And he's got some golf knowledge in his family for sure. And then Taylor Fritz is our number one American right now. He's in the quarterfinals of Wimbledon, and he plays in the doll. So obviously I'll be all over that match, but he is, got bit by the golf bug as well. And so he's into it. But yeah, I mean, it's, you know, if I'm going to spend time with those guys, I'd like to kind of spend it either around tennis or around some sort of exercise that can translate.
You a PGA Tour follower? You got any spicy live takes for us? Are you following that whole scene, or are you kind of stay away from that?
No, I mean, I got a lot of buddies to play on now both tours. Sergio Garcia is one of my best friends, in his wedding, groomsman in his wedding. So, you know, super interesting to kind of follow along from afar. You know, I've always been a PGA Tour guy. Obviously everybody has. And so, yeah, you look at it and you're like, PGA Tour is something that, you know, young guys coming up or people coming up are like, man, it'd be cool to play a PGA Tour event or be a part of a PGA Tour event, you know, say any other tour. I think it's super interesting. I think disruption in the markets, in any market, is interesting, whether it's, you know, tech, whether it's sport, anything. And if I think it'd be hard pressed that if somebody came to a lot of people, a lot of people in their work life and said, hey, I got the same gig for you. I want you to work four times less and you're gonna make four times the money. I think it'd be hard pressed for people to kind of go, well, what's the catch, or at least inquire about it. I don't see the, you know, sort of the getting into the human rights and all that stuff. These guys are golfers, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, our government's doing business with Saudi. I've got Saudi gas in my truck, I'm sure. So, mm-hmm. I mean, I'm not, you know, I don't know anything about that. I'm not a politics guy, so I don't do any of that stuff. But neither are these guys are golfers. There's a lot of sports in Saudi, and they're not even playing in Saudi. They're playing in the States a lot and all that. So look, I think it'd be hard pressed for guys to not at least look at it and see what it is. If they get ranking points, that's a big deal. If that tour gets some ranking points, because I think these guys are, there were some names in there, some young guys, some good young players that went over, and you're like, well, you know, in 2 years, what are they, you know, they're not going to be able to get into those events, those Grand Slam or those slam, those majors, or we call slams in tennis, so majors in golf. And you know, so it's hard to not at least look at it and just kind of go, where does this put me in a couple of years? What I would look at is, where would it put me in a couple of years? Am I still going to be able to get into, do I have to qualify for these majors? Because I think a lot of those guys now understand and have won a few events now on the PGA Tour and gone, okay, well, you know, maybe there's not a whole lot of difference in terms of, you know, in terms of like which tournament I've won. Obviously they have a lot of good players over there, and big names. And, so I, you know, look, as a golf fan, it's interesting. I'm a PGA Tour guy. But I think it's interesting.
Definitely interesting. Just a few more American Century questions before we let you go, Marty. I'm wondering how competitive it really is with you guys this week. So, like, you know, before the week starts, are you texting Tony Romo? Are you texting Smolty and being like, yeah, I'm going to beat you this week? Or, you know, when you see him on the range and stuff, are you guys like talking smack constantly?
It's pretty friendly. Yeah. The smack talking is maybe from guys, you know, to guys that like, hey, I hope you don't finish, you know, or I bet you won't finish top 75 or something like that, you know, or top 10, or it's a lot of, it's like, you know, we can bet against or for, you know, matchups and things. And yeah, so you sort of follow along with that. Hey, I took you, dude. So like, don't shoot a 90 today, you know, kind of thing. Yeah. And then, you know, it's trying to get into some of the guys' heads that you can tell on the range or really have, you know, have a million swing thoughts.
Yeah.
Aaron Rodgers is one of those that comes to mind. He's the kind of guy that like needs to hit a drive like 30 seconds before he hits his first tee shot. So he's like right there on the range, and then he runs over and I will position myself right behind him and go, dude, I can't believe you paused that long in your backswing. That's crazy. And he'll, you know, and he'll like freak out and he'll run over, you know, he'll give me a couple F bombs and he'll run over to the first tee. So it's stuff like that. It's, we're all, you know, and then Mark and Tony and Smoltzy, like you said, you know, a bunch of guys, Derek Lowe and Vinny Del Negro won last year. So like, these guys, you know, once the tournament starts, we all want to win. There's no way around that. But there's no ill will. It's supposed to be fun.
Yeah.
Well, I know your boys with Steph Curry. How cool is it to see him win another title? And have you connected with him this week? And, you know, do you guys have a side bet between you this week? Because obviously he's very competitive on the course.
He does the one with his pops. They've got a fun game. Look, we've got Steph's an awesome, awesome guy. Super easy to root for when he's playing basketball. And then we play a lot of golf together throughout the year or over the year, you know, whether he's coming to LA and has a day off or we're out here playing these things. We have kind of a standing Wednesday games, and that's tomorrow. So we'll play tomorrow,
nice.
In a little practice round. And he's an awesome golfer too. I didn't mention him in terms of winning the thing, but he certainly can. He's a legit zero handicap. He, you know, grew up playing golf. He's got a beautiful swing, as I'm sure you guys have seen. So it's fun to get out there. Dell and Seth now is now they got a whole litany of Curries out there that we'll play with pretty soon. Yeah, pretty soon. Maybe Damien's going to play next year. Damien Lee, who's a family member, but not a Curry, but a family member. So he's a great dude as well. So it's, yeah, like you kind of stick with the guys that you have a good relationships with. It's just a really fun tournament to cross paths with people that you would never cross paths with before. Canelo Alvarez is a guy that just like, I'm a huge fan of Canelo's. I never would have met him if not for events like this. And, not only are we good buddies now, he's an awesome dude. He's unfortunately not coming this year because he's training for his fight with Triple G, but he's a sweetheart out of the ring. You don't want to get him inside the ring, but he loves golf, man, and he's a great dude. So we've formed an awesome friendship and play golf all the time down in San Diego. He's down at Del Mar in San Diego, so plays every dang day. So so it's just fun to kind of cross paths with these guys that just you would never see or never meet, and you're still fans of.
How Smoltz is like kind of like the best player without a major type, the major being this tournament. How surprised are you he hasn't gotten one of these yet?
He's obviously coulda, shoulda, maybe won last year.
Last year.
Last year he's in a playoff with Vinny. Yep. Look, I mean, it's, you know, he's not getting any younger, Smoltzy. So he's, he can play, obviously. You know, I've played with him plenty of times where I've seen him shoot 65, no worries. And, he's won that Orlando event multiple times, two times in a row. And, this is kind of his bugaboo one tournament that, he hasn't won. Hopefully this isn't the year. And we can get him again, but no, he's a great player and obviously he's great for the tournament. So I love hanging out with him, love playing golf with him.
Marty, we're gambling guys. Are there any, your fellow competitors we should be eyeing up for? You talked about those matchups or players to bet against. Yep. Any tips for us?
I haven't seen the odds. Someone's tweeted at me a couple times that I was plus 275, and same with Tony. There's a couple of guys like Jake Owen is my best friend from growing up. He was best man at our wedding. And so he's finally playing. He's a total stick. I mean, he's a zero handicap kind of guy playing golf. We grew up playing every day in the summer. Every summer, our parents would drop us off, and him and his brother and I would play nine holes every day. So he can play. I don't know what his odds are. That'd be a good flyer if he was like, you know, they probably don't know he's a good golfer, or, you know, this is his first time. So you think, I think he could win it, or at least put up a couple good rounds. So he may be a good flyer. Adam Thielen is someone that's been playing some really good golf. He's played golf his whole life as well. He's got a beautiful swing, finished fourth in Dallas, which was kind of tough conditions as well. He shot some really good rounds in some really tough conditions there. So he's kind of getting his feet wet in these tournaments, and I can definitely see him doing well too. So I don't know if that flyers. Helps, but a couple flyers.
Yeah. What do you think, you and Tony being the favorites, is that fair? Does that make sense? Do you feel enough respect, not enough respect with that?
Yeah, I think that it's totally fine. I don't, you know, look, the year I won it in 2012, I was like 12-1 to start the week. And then a couple of buddies got wind of that, and it went down to 3-1 really quickly. They got paid. A couple of them got paid pretty big time on that. I think it's pretty fair. I mean, look, Tony's not shy about, you know, how much golf he plays, how much he's trying to, you know, play professionally, or at least trying to play competitively. He plays, at least more competitive rounds and tournament rounds than probably anyone else out here. But he's a phenomenal player, phenomenal putter. And he's got some great teachers, I guess, down over in Dallas with some of the guys that, you know, Spieth and DeChambeau use, and those, you know, those guys. So he's got real people behind him, figuring out how to get him, you know, as good as he can be. And so, yeah, he loves it. And that's great. I think it's awesome. I mean, he's a huge name, in the sports world. And, anytime we can get somebody out here that we can show that, you know, we're not just crappy, you know, weekend golfers, it is fun. So, yeah, I mean, like, anytime anyone shoots a 63 or a 65 or something like that is, I think it's really cool to show people that they're not just a bunch of guys shooting 85 every day out here.
Sure. One last thing. Does Steph ever do the night-night thing?
I haven't seen him since then, but I guarantee he's going to do it out here. He better do it. He better do it. I mean, it's his thing right now. So it's like
you'd be cool with that. See,
it's Al Ribeiro doing his
Charles.
And it's Steph's doing the night-night thing. So.
What's your move?
Because that's
what's your go-to move then? You need a signature.
I don't want anything. My go-to move is making birdies, I think. Hopefully my go-to move.
Yes, that's right.
That's awesome. Go-to move.
Well, Marty, thank you so much. Again, I don't want to be a jinx this week either. We got great vibes here. You're going to win it. We're all pulling for you. And thanks again for your time, and good luck this week.
My pleasure, guys. Yeah, thanks for having me.
All right. Thanks again to Marty Fish. And again, we wish him good luck this week at the American Century Championship. Yes, we got three big events going on, or at least betting events. American Century Championship, where you can bet, you know, we always hear about Barkley making bets. You know, I was just talking about not betting on myself. Charles Barkley is the opposite. He bets on himself every year, you know, top 75 or top whatever he wants to do. We got him. We got obviously the Scottish Open with an incredible field, Steve. 14 of the top 15 players in the world. I saw some stat. It's like the best non-major, non-WGC in like 30 years or something crazy. Wow. You just don't see, obviously, these top guys all play like it. So anyway, Steve, tell us a little about maybe the course that they're going to play, and what else we should be looking for this week.
Yeah, it's at the Renaissance Club in Scotland, not England. CP was confused by that before we recorded.
By the way, pronunciation, please. Isn't it like Renaissance or something? I think.
No way. Is it really?
I'm pretty sure. I think I heard that on Golf Channel the other day.
Renaissance?
Renaissance.
Maybe that's how Matt Adams describes it. That's not how I'm going to call it. We'll stick with the Renaissance Club. It was designed by Tom Doak, not Dioak. Just a good links-like layout. So it's close to the water. He actually rebuilt three holes in 2013 that are right on the water. So, you know, it's very good. It's in our top 25 in our recently released best courses in Scotland ranking. So, you know, it's kind of typical. Like, you could run up balls on the greens. That's how it's links like. If the wind picks up, that's really the defense. If not, it's going to be probably a birdie fest. And this course has hosted this event the past couple of years too. So there's some course history to glean on. It's pretty solid course, and it's a fun one too, because there's, you could be a little creative, you know. So, you know, hat tip to guys like Jordan Spieth who like to be imaginative around the greens. You could do that here. So it'll be interesting to see how some of these guys play this course. And obviously we got all these live guys here too. So, I mean, that's kind of what I'm most interested in, like that dynamic. Maybe this is going to be one of the last times we see them play against the PGA Tour guys. Who knows?
It could be. I mean, yeah. Hey. I mean, obviously, other than the majors, until they run out of their world breaking points. Ian Poulter, a couple other guys, right? They put a little legal battle there. They were first removed from the list. They're back in, at least temporarily. I don't think any of us are expecting Ian Poulter to win, but, still, yeah, definitely interesting. Scottie Scheffler, the favorite. Rom, JT's, I mean, again, it's everyone. It's all the big guns. It's an incredible field. So CP, I know you never like to start at the top of the board, but you almost have to, because the top of the board is the board. I mean, everybody's here.
Well, this is a big gun. He's all the way at 30-1 on Bet365. Colin Morikawa, obviously the reigning Open winner, two-time major winner. Played pretty well at Brookline. I know he had a bad Saturday, but then he backdoored into the top five on Sunday, hit the ball really well. Approach was, kind of back to normal Morikawa approach numbers, and then he putted really well. Just the bad 77 that he's going to probably lose sleep over for a long time, because I know we were all there Thursday, Friday thinking, preparing the Vince Carter it's over gif for sure. And that was just such a brutal day for him. He just couldn't keep the ball in the fairway, and you obviously had to keep the ball in the fairway there. But these next 2 weeks, it's pretty open. Stevie's talking about links, so he showed he can play some links golf last year at the Open. I don't know. It's still crazy that he's 30-1. And if he shows, another sign of life this week, he's going to be, I would argue, the favorite next week if he plays really well this week. And he definitely won't be 30-1. So we'll try to be a week early on him. And he can absolutely win this weekend and next week too. So I wouldn't be worried about betting on him this week and winning, or wanting to bet on whatever. I don't even know what I'm trying to say, but I just love 30-1 Colin Morikawa. We were kicking ourselves when he was in the lead at the Open, because he was right around a similar number there. So let's not make the same mistake twice.
Well, first of all, Danny, our boy Danny last year, basically said that he had no chance to win. Like the Colin Morikawa, I was like, I can't even play links golf. I don't even know what I'm doing out here. And then he goes and win the Open. And then this year at the US Open, Danny's the one who said that Colin Morikawa can't hit a fade anymore. He's hitting draws, and he literally is like, I'm looking at videos, I can't figure it out. So I'm like, I pulled back my bet, and he's leading the Open. He ended up, he did have the one bad day, but so you never know what to do with Colin Morikawa, because, He's apparently he's not hitting the shots he wants to hit right now, but he's still finishing fourth at the US Open, and he's back at Lynx Golf, which apparently he wasn't good at, but now he's amazing at. I don't know, Steve. Yeah.
Didn't like the turf.
I mean, all I got to say is thank God he didn't win the US Open. I don't think he would have forgiven Danny.
I would have I told Dan he would have owed me $700 or whatever.
Yeah. And that's straight up. He talked us out of it at dinner the night before.
100%.
So, yeah. Exactly. But I'm with CP. That was the first bet I made yesterday. We didn't even talk about that before the show. So good vibes. I'm on Morikawa. And then I'm also on Spieth. I found him at 33-1. I talked about the, creativity you need around here. And his ball striking's just been solid. I mean, the US Open was weird to me. Like, he had the stomach bug. And he like made a bunch of birdies, but it was just followed with a bunch of bogeys too. So, I don't think he was close to 100% there. So take a shot on him here. We saw the pictures of him and JT. They came over for a little mini golf trip. So he's in the Lynx golf mindset already. So I like that. So 33-1 on Spieth. Those are my two bets at the top.
You mentioned the turf for a second, just to get back to Sand Valley. Again, and I'm sure Bandit's the turf,
like Bandit.
It's so firm.
Yep.
It's so glorious. If you hit it down the middle, and again, it's Sand Valley, they're generous. I mean, God, the ball is just right. And all the quarterbacks that was happening, the ball is just bounding down the fairway. Yeah. It just, oh my God, it's so fun. You just hit like bombs. I love that. And then, yeah, around the green, it's a little, you know, it gets in your head a little bit when you have that really tight lie and maybe that, but then, yeah, you know, maybe play the lower shot, the little bump and run or whatever that, you know I stuck with the 60 the whole time, CP, don't worry, but
I putted everything at Ben.
You did? Jason, you went away from it. Yeah. I kind of tried to stay with it, but it was tough because the greens, then you got to play for the release and everything else. Yeah. But I say overall, it's just so much. We're just so used to like playing up here in the Northeast where, you know, it just takes one torrential rainstorm, which we get every other day. And then the courses are soaked and you just, you know, you're seeing your pitch marks where the ball like is bouncing backwards off drivers. It just stinks. So getting out there, I'm sure Bandon was the same. You kind of hit those balls that kind of tumble. Obviously the wind is more of a factor too. Yes. But man, so much more fun. I mean, that's what these guys are going to be dealing with this week, of course, as well. All right. How about any mid guys that you guys are looking at? You know, I've seen a lot of like Ryan Fox. I know he's been on fire on the DP World Tour, but obviously this is a different ball game when you throw all the studs in there as well, but I see him 45-1 this week. Anybody like that in the middle there?
I'm going a little further down to Justin Rose at 7. He's 75-1. Actually, he's like 50-1 everywhere, but for some reason, 75-1 on DraftKings. That's the best price you're going to find on him. Sneaky good form since the middle of May. I think he tied for 13th at the PGA, fourth at in Canada, where he obviously should have shot 58 or 59 there on Sunday. Made the cut of the U.S. Open, finished in the top 40. He won this event in 2014 at a different course. But, you know, this event and next week, I know he wants to peak right now. He's not getting any younger, Justin Rose. So love to be a week early on him. He's obviously going to want to peak for next week. But like Morikawa, I'll be a week early here.
That was like when Marty Fish made the dig at Smoltz.
Yeah, that's how it felt.
I love that. That was so great.
Love a Justin Rose dig, too.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. Steve, what about you?
Yeah, if you darts down here, I think Aaron Rye is worth a dart throw. He won on this course I think it's 2 years ago, right? So you know, I've been playing good golf, ball striking, just needs to figure out the putting. One of those guys. I think you catch him at like 80-1 or so I think that's nice. Victor Perez, obviously we know he's really talented, but has won recently over on the DP, so I think he's probably worth a flyer. And then I mean, this is probably very square, but Hao Tung Lee just won, was it last week? He's 130-1.
I was just going to say that. Yeah.
I saw that too, but I skipped him for another guy who won pretty recently. Torbjørn Olesen is 200-1. Thunder Bear, and he's coming off an eighth in Ireland. So, and he's not yet in the Open Championship. There are still three spots available this week. So kind of a motivation play on the Great Dane, Torbjørn Olesen, who has, you know, some major top tens in his career. So he's definitely going to be highly motivated to get in. You got to play really well. You got to finish in the top three. So we'll take a flyer or not the top three. You got to be one of the three best finishers that are not already exempt. So you could get bet him top 10 and that might be enough for him. So he'll probably be protecting that if he is in the mix on Sunday. So maybe a placement bet's the smarter.
That's a good call with that. Yeah. Those open spots. And yeah, top 10 probably does get it done because there's so many great names this week that they might not go too far down the board. And how about the guy who's won more money in the last few weeks than anyone in the world? Brandon Grace, $6.6 million.
Yeah, he's going to be really motivated this week.
150-1. I just blows my mind. He's won over half of his career earnings now in like 2 weeks. After 12 years making like $12 million, he's made $6.6 million in 2 weeks. That's pretty
crazy, Bill.
Pretty remarkable. All right. Any bombs, or should we move on to Barbasol?
Yeah, Barbasol. No,
I'll go Noren. I think I'm going to go Noren too. Probably placement. He's just a better golfer in Europe, as he's kind of proven over his career. Yeah. And he was having a pretty solid year. So, you know, wintertime, he was playing really well. And I think he top 20 that Scandinavian mix pretty recently. So top 20 is plus 320 on DraftKings for Alex Noren. And I really like that.
All right, let's go to Barbasol, where really I saw something really interesting, although on DraftKings, he's not the favorite. But Chris Goddard, you know, being the favorite.
Unbelievable.
After just a couple events, that might be a record. I know when those guys turned pro, the class of 2019, it was like, I think like Wolf or someone was a favorite really early on as well. And they played in like a weaker event, maybe Morikawa even. But to be a favorite, but now I'm seeing the guy in DraftKings is the favorite is Mark Hubbard. That is absolutely
crazy talk.
Crazy talk. But Chris Goddard, I mean, what, he averaged like 330 last week off the tee. He was like,
he should have won too. Saturday, he didn't do anything. He was right there.
He's a beast.
Yeah, he is a beast. I bet on him too.
New Jersey.
Well, so it
would have been so apropos 4th of July weekend down the shore to get
down the shore.
Also, I love the guy because I saw a tweet that he had on Twitter and I was like, oh, that was pretty funny. And then I go to follow him and he already follows me. Got her up. So I'm all in on the Chris got her up train. Now I know he's Jersey and everything else, but I don't know. It's tough to bet a guy, obviously 18-1.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Who's rookie as good as he is. Okay, so what about you guys? Who do you like this week in at Barbasol?
Steve said it before, Svenny. Adam Svensson. I like him a lot this week.
25-1,
yeah.
All right. Well, I can't miss out on that now that you're saying that. I mean Patton Kizzire at 35-1.
My next one. The vibes are immaculate right now.
Your guys' vibes are really clicking this week.
So dialed after a week of playing golf.
Yeah. Fourth place finish.
Very little bickering.
Really strong.
Very little, surprisingly.
Nice top five finish for you.
Despite we play again down the shore, our wives are gonna murder us. We played at Eagle Ridge, if anyone's ever heard of it. And Steve played with my brother against myself and my future brother-in-law, Matt Rando, who Myers knows from
Rando!
March Madness bracket.
Finally met him.
Greatest name ever.
Steve and my brother curb stomped us. I think that's okay to say on the podcast. Yep. Like, embarrassed us. I don't think we won a hole. Me and
yeah, Steve did.
And Steve with holstering every drive in our face. My brother, when he breaks 95, he acts like he's shooting 72. It's unbelievable. it was pretty brutal.
We were so dialed.
So dialed.
Oh yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Sorry, I do love the Kizzire. You can explain.
Okay. Santiago Tarrio. Never seen that in my life.
Oh my god. Yeah. My favorite game in fields like this is he actually a golfer or not?
Yeah, I mean, like, I think I've heard of like all these other guys for the most. Man, now there's some other guys, but yeah, Santiago Tarrio, that's a new one. Alfredo Garcia Heredia,
okay. Marcus Helicht Glide,
Alfredo,
same Nicholas, odds as Bill Haas.
Niklas Norgard Moeller.
That's the game. Who has the same odds as Bill Haas?
Patrick Flavin coming off the top 10.
Oh yeah, I know. That was a big week for him.
Maybe top 20, Flavin.
I'm trying to find Haas. How far down the board is he?
130.
Wow.
Respectable. Same odds as Harry Higgs. Come on.
That's a lot of respect for Haas. Wow, too much respect. That's crazy. All right. Any other moves there? What about American Century? Or you think should we our guy Marty? Or is that, I mean, it's too
Thielen.
Tough.
Love the Thielen play.
Oh yeah, that was a great. That was.
What are Thielen's odds?
I don't know. You said nothing on DraftKings.
Nothing on DK. No. I saw it when I looked. I think it was William Hill. Maybe I just looked up American Century odds. I don't know where else you could get it.
Yeah, none of these articles have like a list of all the guys. It's just like who are the favorites.
Oh, this is 2021. So, yeah. But he must have seen something. Oh, here's something from 4 days ago. He must have seen something because he knew what his odds are.
Yeah,
they're co-favorites, Tony and Marty. Curry, Annika. Annika, she's not a celebrity golfer.
Yeah, that's kind of weird.
Crazy. She was in the one back in he was in the other, you know, the LPGA one too. That's wild. And here's Charles Barkley. Will he finish top 70? Yes.
Yeah.
280. No. I mean, with that swing, he kind of has to, doesn't he? He's hitting it good.
Hitting it much better.
He's dialed now. Yeah, come on.
Yeah, I don't know. He's 7,500 to 1 to win. But,
how many 90, people are in the field? Like 90, how many?
90. Okay. Eh. So top 70. I mean, he does usually finish like 90th or 80th. Yeah. But yeah.
That's actually tough.
One of our guys was worse than him the other year. Who was it? There was some football player who he actually
Sabathia was in the field last year, wasn't he?
Yes, he was down there.
Yeah, he was down there. Justin Tuck.
He withdrew because he had something. I remember talking about it. He withdrew, but he was going to. Yeah, it was Tuck. It was Tuck.
You know who's supposed to be nasty? Marty didn't mention him. I have no idea if he's in the field. But Case Keenum is supposed to be like the next big.
Really?
Okay. Golfer. Yeah. I forget where I saw that.
Where are you pulling that from?
I think he played last year. He played okay.
Patrick Mahomes, 350 to 1.
Yeah.
Aaron Rodgers, 85 to 1.
85 to 1. Wow.
By the way, heard some stories about Aaron Rodgers from Sand Valley. Let's just say he did not come off well. On the course.
Interesting.
I mean, and what Marty said, he's a little bit of a psycho out there. It seems like.
Yeah, I can definitely see that.
Interesting.
But yeah, so
I'll have to hear those stories offline, I guess. Yeah,
probably, probably better for offline.
I mean, he is a bit of a psycho in general. So
he is. Yeah. So it kind of makes sense. anyway, all right. Well, should be a fun week.
I need a winner this week, Myers, because I don't know if you know this. Lost my wedding ring in the Atlantic Ocean over the weekend.
No.
Yep.
Why'd you show your middle finger? That's the ring you wear, the finger you wear it on?
This is my ring finger.
You lost
it. Maybe it's the Zoom.
Oh, dang. Dude, I took mine off. We went to whenever we go to the pool.
I'm an idiot. I should have taken it off.
I just take it off. Golf, I take it off. I put it in like a really small pocket of my bag. I zip it up. Damn, dude, that sucks. So Eric,
brutal.
We need a big time.
So we need winners. Thoughts, prayers, winners.
Was it like an expensive ring though, or just kind of like a throw?
I mean, I don't know. My wife bought it. I didn't ask.
Mine was really cheap.
Pretty pissed about it at first.
It's more the sentimental value, but she already knows you lost it. So even if you get a new one, it's not the same.
I'm going to be hearing about it for the rest of my life.
I told TP, you probably should have just not told her and then bought a replacement. She probably never knew. Come on.
Where did you? So you lost it in
tossing the old pigskin around in the water. Ball. I mean, it couldn't have hit the ring more square. I was trying to make a one hand. Oh yeah. And then I'm like looking for it, and my friends are like, the ball's like full. They think I'm looking for the football. It's like floating right behind me. I'm like, no, nope, my wedding ring.
Yeah, I see the ball, you idiots. Damn. Well, that's a crazy story.
Brutal.
That's too bad. All right. Well, get a winner this week.
Yeah.
Morikawa. Morikawa is going
to go, Colin.
I'm hopping on that too. I guess we're all positive vibes here. So,
yep.
All right, positive vibes. Good stuff. Good times. Hopefully, we'll be in the office probably on Tuesday, right? We'll be back from our collective
Our jaunts.
Yeah. But anyway, thanks to everybody for listening. Thanks again to Marty Fish for joining us. Thanks as always to our producer Greg Gottfried. And please subscribe or sign up and everything wherever you get your podcasts, and check back next week when hopefully CP has a replacement wedding. See ya. Woo!